The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Stories That Captured Our Attention in 2020, From Political Upheaval to Expanding Freedom Movements, From Freeing Political Prisoners to a Pandemic That Exposed the Institutionalized White Supremacy That Threatens Black Lives from All Corners. 2020 has been a year of change, witness trauma, grief, joy, healing, and reckoning. There are many stories that made us all sit up in our seats, stare at our phones, protest inside and outside the halls of powers in the streets across the United States and around the world. I present just a few of them here. As we carry the residual impacts of 2020 into the new year, we do so reflecting on the best pathways to liberation and a way forward that truly forces this nation to be, quote unquote, true to what it said on paper. James Baldwin's challenge to white America, and to all those who claim to believe in a slow freedom, remains. You always told me it takes time. It's taken my father's time, my mother's time, my uncle's time, my brother's and my sister's time. How much time do you want for your progress? Number one, Danielle Outlaw, Philadelphia's police commissioner, is a black woman for the first time. Outlaw will take over a department that has been marred by sexual harassment, complaints, and racial discrimination. Number two, Free Them All, Freedom Finally for Move 9. At the core, Move's story is about trying to be free in a nation accustomed to black subjugation and being met with the full violent force of the state. Number three, Trump acquitted of impeachment charges will remain in office. The final vote was along partisan lines, 52-48 favoring acquittal on the abuse of power article and 53-47 favoring acquittal on the obstruction of Congress article. Number four, All Eyes on Oakland. Moms for Housing continues to fight. In Oakland, a city with the principled struggle for black liberation in its veins, the glaring structural violence is clear and sustained. Number five, Bloomberg regains his memory on Exonerated Five. I believe these men were in jail for a crime they did not commit. When CBS reporter Tim Perry asked Bloomberg on Monday if his position had changed since his administration dedicated resources to fighting against the Exonerated Five's civil suit. He responded that he had no idea. Number six, Karen Act. San Francisco supervisors unanimously vote to ban racially motivated 911 calls. Supervisors will vote again on the measure, which was introduced in July next week. If passed, it will be sent to the desk of Mayor London Breed to be signed into law. Number seven, shut it all down. Nambia police use tear gas, rubber bullets to disperse gender-based violence protests. Protests which began after authorities discovered the body of 22-year-old Shannon Wasserfall continued for the third day in Namibia to fight against femicide, sexual violence, and abuse. Number 8. Black Detroit voters sue Trump campaign, claim attempted mass voter suppression. No more, the lawsuit states. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 flatly prohibits defendants' efforts to disenfranchise black people and assault our republic. Number 9. Honesty Hodges, young girl held at gunpoint by Grand Rapids Police in 2017, dies of COVID-19. My beautiful, sassy, smart, loving granddaughter has gone home to be with Jesus. Number 10. Miami-Dade Street renamed in honor of Trayvon Martin. Just to have my son's name on the street is heartfelt, Tracy Martin, Trayvon's father said at the street renaming ceremony. Number 11. A new world is possible. Defund police and fund black lives. The movement for black lives calls for defunding the police to release urgently needed community resources to realize real public safety. 12. Kamala Harris's historic win brings hope, power to black women after 4 hard years. Black women have historically dared to challenge white supremacy and were long kept from ascending to the heights of power because of it. Harris's appointment has been a project in building power nearly 400 years in the making, and we are not done. Number 13, Election 2020. Cori Bush is going to Congress. She becomes the first black congressional woman of Missouri's 1st congressional district. To the people of St. Louis, this is for you, Bush said. The next article is titled, Gone Too Soon. Pop Smoke's reign was just beginning. Pop Smoke, the rapper behind Dior, was tragically killed in Los Angeles in February of 2020. He was a bright performer who was bringing a classic New York flavor back to hip-hop, while infusing his work with the sounds of UK drill. Though his career was short, his impact on American youth and hip-hop is undeniable. The rapper had begun gaining serious momentum during spring of 2019 with the release of, quote-unquote, Welcome to the Party. The high-octane track was celebrated in part because of its incorporation of drill, a music style with roots in Chicago, and an expansive scene in the United Kingdom as well. His ability to bridge regional gaps made his name come up in conversations that also mentioned UK grime artist Skepta and rapper Chef G. But Pop Smoke was adamant about making it known that his style was more expansive than fans and initially media would give him credit for. At the time of his death, he had released his sophomore project, Meet the Woo Volume 2, which generally had positive reviews. Pop Smoke's raw growling was jarring and hard against these bouncy beats, wrote Bernadette for Hip Hop DX. Critics were excited about his capabilities as an artist and looked forward to the resurgence of danceable music that just felt good. I love his energy, his vibe, his song, Hot 97's Foo. The 20-year-old was carving out his own lane with clear influences. His style was interpreted as a homage to his gritty New York forefathers, DMX and 50 Cent, and later of whom was a fan, while expressing his striking sense of originality, mythology, and humor. Volume 2 peaked at number 7 on the Billboard Top 200 albums, while Dior hit the number 1 spot on the Hot 100 just days after he was killed. It is New York, and not even just New York, it is Brooklyn, fellow Brooklyn rapper Don Monique said over the phone. She had recently received a co-sign from Pop Smoke for a viral freestyle. "This is really a big L for us. He didn't start the whole Brooklyn drill, but the first time I heard of Brooklyn drill was because of Pop Smoke," she added. Law enforcement officials concluded that Pop Smoke was shot during a home invasion in a California home he was renting. On February 19th, he succumbed from his injuries at a nearby hospital. 4 people have since been charged with his death. His passing was a cruel reminder of how hip-hop eats its young, often when they are at their brightest. In the days after his passing, young people blared the late rapper's music in the streets of Brooklyn, channeling his distinct energy and honoring his legacy. Complex's Eric Shelton documented Pop Smoke's funeral procession, writing, "People danced on top of cars, yelled, woo, any chance they could get, and sang along to the lyrics of Brooklyn anthems like Welcome to the Party, Dior, and Shake the Room. There was a spirit of camaraderie present, one that attendees believe was only made possible by the rapper." In early July 2020, Pop Smoke's 50 Cent executive-produced first studio album, Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon, was released, debuting at number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100. Featuring vocals from Quavo, Future, Lil Baby, and more, the project was an indication of where the rapper's artistry was headed and just how bright his future was. Pop Smoke was charismatic to the core. He had found fans and kids across the country and in industry staples like Nicki Minaj because he was comfortable in his role as an innovator. He was as confident as they come and knew that the work he was doing would have a lasting impact. "The drill is the sound of New York," he said in his final interview. "This is what the New York sounds like now." The next article is titled 20 of 2020's Top Black Culture Moments. 2020 challenged norms and tested patience. Concert venues closed, cultural routines were abandoned, and the idea of what it meant to be a performer and audience member were redefined. The year carried in unthinkable circumstances, daily forcing us to pivot fast. Together, through the windows in our palms, we said goodbye to legendary talents like Kobe Bryant, Chadwick Boseman, Natalie Dassel Reed, Thomas Tiny Lister, and John Fletcher. We welcomed new takes on old stories from Shonda Rhimes and Steve McQueen. We danced our way through social distancing to the tunes of Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, and Beyonce before allowing Jeannie Aiko, Teyana Taylor, and Luke James to be the soundtracks to our self-care. We raised our glasses to Zendaya's record-breaking Emmy win and applauded Amanda Seale's virtual triumph at the BET Awards. We rejected half measures in the fight to protect Black women and celebrated Kamala Harris making long overdue history with some help from Mary J. Blige. We examined our actions in the reflection of the red table. We witnessed the world suddenly decide Black lives actually did matter for at least a few weeks. We celebrated shake off the sheen of stardom when sickness knocked at their door. We binged podcasts in between virtual learning sessions, grateful for the vocal friends of Lacey Mosley, Boonji, and Tracy Clayton. We pledged allegiance to the trap, blew the whistle, visited our aunties, and found out who the boy really belonged to as verses became the saving grace in our upended social lives. In the new normal, traditions were transformed, expectations were shifted, and we somehow found a way to get closer as the computers in our pockets became a nightclub substitute, home offices, and sanctuaries. Take a look back at some of the most memorable moments of 2020. Number one, when D-Nice healed the world at Club Quarantine. Legendary DJ Derek Jones began hosting Club Quarantine at the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, but the mythical hotspot reached over 100,000 Instagram users in late March. Real Housewives, R&B singers, and cashiers joined teachers, hairdressers, and tech tycoons for an all-day party that lifted the spirits of a nation. Many of the notable people in the world, including Naomi Campbell, Will Smith, Mark Zuckerberg, Oprah, and Michelle Obama, were present. Virtual guests joked about making their way across the crowded club in the comments. The choice to hop behind the turntables at home came from a need for Jones to soothe his loneliness. He wanted to replicate that good energy present in a club setting. It seriously came from a place of love and wanting to be around friends. And then it kind of turned into this thing, Jones told Essence. Later, he even taped to hold a special live session to promote Obama's When We All Vote initiative, proving that DJs literally can save lives. Number two, when Teddy Riley versus memes took over our timelines. Versus invited songwriters and producers to take credit for hit records the public might not have known they had a hand in creating. Teddy Riley and Babyface were among the first to step up and get their flowers. Their matchup was postponed by COVID-19 and technical difficulties, but the spectacle on April 20th was worth the wait for Toni Braxton's tweets alone. Embedding the phrase, "log off, Kenny," into our brains actually distracted us from social distancing for a second. Number three, when the Savage Challenge took over the internet. After falling in love with Megan Thee Stallion, hit, 19-year-old choreographer Kiara Wilson headed to TikTok to create an easy-to-follow routine that spoke to our inner, classy, bougie, and ratchet selves. The hashtag Savage Challenge was soon erupting across our timelines. Celebrities including Kiki Palmer, Candy Burris, and Jennifer Lopez jumped on the bandwagon of the viral sensation. The H-Town hottie herself even hopped on the trend. Number four, when Matthew Cherry won an Oscar for quote-unquote hair love, Matthew Cherry earned the Oscar for Academy Award for Best Animated Short for his adaptation of his children's book Hair Love, featuring a father and daughter struggling to care for her hair in mom's absence. The short film captured the hearts of families everywhere. You always see these stories and these young black girls being bullied for wearing their natural hair, Cherry told Essence. Anytime you have a young black girl or a young black woman in general really just embracing who they truly are on their own, it's a great thing. There's nothing wrong with trying to change your hair, but it is also important to see your value in how you are naturally as well. Number five, when Lena Waithe and Alana Mayo called it quits, fictional romances weren't the only ones taking over our timelines. Hollywood heavyweights Lena Waithe and Alana Mayo filed for divorce in November, giving us yet another thing to blame on 2020. Number six, when Lauren and Cameron proved love truly is blind. The top of the year kicked off with Netflix going on a quest to find out If Love Really Was Blind. Participants agreed to date and possibly get engaged on a reality show without ever seeing their potential partner. Each of the pods presented were entertaining. We are still laughing about Carlton Shade, but it was Lauren Speed and Cameron Hilton who made us believe in blind courtship. The couple fell in love before our eyes and recently celebrated 2 years of marriage. It is overwhelming, to be honest, Speed told Essence, but I just feel so blessed and happy that everyone's giving us words of encouragement and support, saying we inspire them. I'm talking all over the world. Number 7, when Issa and Lawrence finally get back together. After 2 address changes and an STD scare, Issa and Lawrence finally reconnected. The exes put their issues on Front Street during a romantic dinner that was followed by marathon makeup sex. Unfortunately, their reunion was short-lived when Condola resurfaced that she was pregnant with Lawrence's baby. Number 8, when Michelle Obama launched her own podcast. Our forever first lady revealed she just as cool as we expected when she released a podcast in July. She discusses marriage, mentorship, and more on the exclusive Spotify show. Number 9, when Anjanae Ellis took us to church in, quote-unquote, the Clark Sisters' First Ladies of Gospel. Anjanae Ellis embodied Dr. Maddie Mae Clark in the Lifetime biopic. The Clark Sisters' First Ladies of Gospel. The actress ushered her on-screen children into the gospel greatness, giving us the perfect Saturday night escape on April 11th. In an Essence interview, the formidable actress explained her thoughts on why the film did not get a bigger response from mainstream audiences. They don't know who the Clark sisters are. They are black famous. We know who they are better than anybody. We know they can sing better than anybody. We know their writings is better than anybody. They are as significant as their Bob Dylan, as their Bruce Springsteen, she said. Number 10, when Beyonce and Megan Thee Stallion, Houston's Finest, came together. Beyonce spit some Southern fried bars when the Texans teamed up for the Savage remix. The superstar revealed that she jumps into her jeans just like us, and even name dropped Damon Time in OnlyFans. We stan a queen who stays in the loop. I got a call one day and they were like, yeah, Beyonce is going to do a remix of Savage, Megan said during a radio interview. I was like, shut up. I didn't believe it. Number 11, when Beanie Man and Bounty Killer took us to the dance hall. Verses went from everyday content to can't miss custom affair with this dance hall face-off. The event was the first time that contenders and what founders Timberland and Swiss Beats call a musical celebration were in the same room. Instagram users pulled out the pom-pom shorts, wash rags, and head wraps to show up to the living room in style. As usual, the culture was the true winner. Number 12, when Nico Anon introduced us to Uncle Clifford on P-Valley. If 2020 had a sweet spot, it was located in the Mississippi Delta. P-Valley introduced us to the Pink Strip Club and its fabulous proprietor, Uncle Clifford, on July 12th. Brought to life by the amazing Nico, Clifford managed to shake some serious coins out of the trap while managing her dancers' drama with a set of ironclad rules. Always wielding a few secrets behind her sequence fans and parasols, this character stole the show. As a black man and as a black gay man, it is very seldom that I get the opportunity to tell such a rich, lush story that really means something and that I really feel speaks to my community and can uplift us, he told Essence. Number 13, when Beyonce confirmed that Black is King. Beyonce Knowles Carter reached across the diaspora to create a stunning ode to Blackness in Black is King on July 31st. The companion film to her concept album, Lion King, The Gift featured a modern retelling of the fable in some of our favorite Afrobeats artists. Number 14, when an AKA became the first Black woman elected as vice president. Skiwis rang out around the globe when then-presidential hopeful Joe Biden chose Kamala Harris as his running mate on August 11th. The Alpha Kappa Alpha was the first Black woman to be chosen as a vice president candidate by the Democratic Political Party. Soras clutched their pearls once again when Harris was forced to remind Vice President Mike Pence that she was still speaking during a debate on October 7th. The Biden and Harris ticket claimed victory, repeatedly making Harris the first Black woman to become a vice president-elect. When Jonathan Majors and Journey Smollett headed to Lovecraft Country. Number 15. On August 16th, Smollett and Majors learned there is nothing spookier than racism portraying Atticus Freeman and Letitia Lewis in this series based on Matt Ruff's novel. Taking place in the Jim Crow era, it follows two friends on a mission to find one's missing father that claimed our Sunday nights this summer. The pair kicked off their 1950s road trip, dodging demonic Klansmen and shape-lifting monsters along the way. Smollett shared how the story relates to the present struggle Black people with Essence. Not only is the story timely, but it is also personal. It is so deeply personal for us. I know what it is like to feel displaced. I know what it is like to have that great shock that James Baldwin talks about. When you discover this nation, who you owe your identity to, right, has yet to create a space for you. I know this. This is the blood memory we talked about. I'm excited because I feel like Lovecraft Country contributes to this discussion, she said. Have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.